Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. As regulatory pressures and global institutional investors demand greater ESG investment opportunities in Asia, major asset owners have begun to take the lead at setting standards and are reprioritizing capital towards best-in-class listed companies. Today, we're joined by Rick Chow, and he's the head of Asia-Pacific for Index and Analytics at Contigo, an index financial intelligence and risk analytics firm. And he's going to share more on the firm's role in the recently launched Sustainable Development Investments Asset Owner Platform. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Not at all. Thank you for having me today, Rachel.
So Rick, perhaps first you can start off by telling us a little bit more about the Sustainable Development Investments Asset Owner Platform and how Contigo is involved.
Fantastic. I mean, it's actually a great place to start. And I thank you for actually starting there, because it actually is a very, very interesting topic that is topical, not only for us here in Asia, but globally as well. Give you a little bit of background. About 4 years ago, APG and PGGM, two of the largest asset owners or pension funds, if you will, in Europe, whilst they were working on their own sustainable investments or ESG portfolios, if you will, they'd realized that it was actually getting to the point where there are so many disparate data sets out in the market that it sort of didn't make sense for them to actually take on board all of these differing data sets and try to make sense of them. And so what they decided was to have or establish a platform that aimed to standardize all of this and to create greater efficiencies, if you will, for not only themselves, but for financial institutions globally who would like, for example, to analyze how their own investment portfolios could be mapped against a certain specific regime, which in this case is the Sustainable Development Goals that were created by the UN. How we got involved, if you don't mind, just really quickly as the last piece, is essentially, we were brought on board due to the fact that we were seen as, I guess, one of the leaders from a technology perspective where we could actually help them not only map, but use this data set and actually share it and, I guess, distribute it on a global basis to all of the financial institutions out there who are interested in this type of data.
And just on that, Rick, so is this a technology platform? How does it work?
It's actually not a technology platform. It's actually a data set. Essentially, it's a data set that consists of or comprises of a global list of listed stocks, if you will.
Okay.
Essentially, how it works is that a taxonomy has been created by the asset owners or a methodology, if you will, and it's been applied against this global data set. And how we actually... I guess I'll use the word distributed, is that it's actually being passed into our platform, Contigo's platform, and then from there we can actually share it out with clients globally. So from that point of view, you could technically say it's a platform, but essentially at its core, it is a data set that's been put together by the asset owners.
So walk us through some of the products and categories that you have on the SDI AOP.
That's actually an interesting question that you've asked. At this point in time, I imagine there are two parts to this answer. Mm-hmm. First, from a product perspective, we are currently in the early phases because this actual platform was only just launched recently. The application will be via two parts. One, on the index side, whereby we're actually looking at creating indices for financial institutions such as asset owners, asset managers, to use internally to benchmark against their portfolios. The second part is actually to use the index to launch products off of, i.e. ETFs, for instance, for which we're actually currently in discussions with some of the largest ETF managers in the world who are actually keen to look at actually taking this further and looking at launching an ETF on or based off of this platform, this data set in the near future. The second part is where we see a lot of the financial institutions who actually want to get access to this is to apply it internally against their own platforms, against their own portfolios. So what I mean by that is whereby they will either A, look at issuing reports to their own shareholders, their board, and their end users mm-hmm. of how they're performing against these SDGs or these SDIs, the Sustainable Development Investments, or actually applying it fully as part of their investment process, whereby their portfolios are not only tilted towards the SDGs, but are actually based off of the SDGs as well. So these main two use cases are fairly powerful.
So how long do you think it'll be, Rick, until you launch your first product on the platform?
That is an awesome question. We, as I mentioned earlier, we are currently in discussions. And whilst I can't reveal too much detail mm-hmm. on that, we do envisage that we'll have something possibly within the first quarter of next year. And hopefully it will be an ETF that will be launched.
Wonderful. Okay, so I've got to ask you, Rick, I speak to a lot of people about sustainable investment trends, and so many players are looking to tap onto this sustainability ESG green trend train. How is what you're launching any different from what's already in the market?
Fantastic question, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's all about two things, definition mm-hmm. and product differentiation. A lot of, I guess, institutions recently, and this has actually been happening over the last couple of years now, where there's been a big focus moving into the ESG space. And I'll use that term fairly loosely. And the reason why I say that is because one of the, I guess, biggest contentious issues that have come to the fore since this movement is the fact that whilst everyone would like to think that they're ESG focus, or they have ESG investments, or they've covered their processes from an ESG perspective, mm-hmm. how ESG is it? I.e., have you been just ticking the box? Have you mm-hmm. been actually doing your due diligence? So what I'm really trying to get at is, you know, the term greenwashing, if you will.
Yep.
Given the push in the last, I would say, 12, 18 months, not only from a regulatory perspective, but from an asset allocator's perspective as well, which is where a lot of the money is sitting, there has been an emphasis on, I guess, more transparency at the lower end, or at the actual point where these firms that are coming out and saying they are ESG compliant, well, how ESG compliant are you? Essentially, are you just ticking the box, for instance? Mm. And from a asset manager's point of view, when they're investing into these firms, and they're telling their clients, oh, we've invested in these companies that are compliant, how do you actually show that? My definition of ESG is totally different to yours, and could be totally different to Quirish's and Taylor's as well, for instance. We actually differentiate by focusing on companies that focus on the product or service that is related to an SDG. In a nutshell, there is no ambiguity or discrepancy, if you will, with regards to the definition of an SDG. If you apply your portfolio against an SDI or / SDG taxonomy or methodology, there is just that one definition, if you will.
Mm. So maybe you can tell us then, how does what you've launched really tie in with the UN SDGs? You mentioned that briefly earlier on as well, that that's what you've aimed to do here. So can you give us more details on how you've intertwined that in what you've launched?
Absolutely. The taxonomy is based on these actual SDGs. Mm. But the finer point is that we actually only focus on, and to make it different and to actually make it objective and transparent, is that we relied on certain metrics, one of which is revenue. We don't mm. mix positive and negative contributions. Basically, what it means is we will only focus on those companies that have products and services, so tangible, I guess, items, if you will. For instance, when you're looking at the 17 SDGs, of which those that relate to product and services, you could apply them to good health and well-being, quality education, clear water and sanitation, innovation, etc. So what we're relying on are very clear, hard, factual metrics. So the methodology that we're applying to these SDGs, as I mentioned earlier, fully transparent, objective, and transparent.
Now, Rick, you talked earlier about the importance of governance, and you also mentioned a little bit about greenwashing as well. Perhaps then you can share with us more about the governance of this particular platform. What are you doing?
Absolutely. So at the moment, there are four asset owners that sit on the design authority. Mm-hmm. Each of them have a representative on what is called the research committee. They have also appointed an external research responsible officer as well to chair the research committee, if you will, to go through the taxonomy that's been created, the methodology that's been created. Everything is publicly available. We actually hide nothing. There are full processes set in place. And essentially what's also been done as well is whilst we've said that this is actually a global database or data set, you can imagine there's a whole ton of data metrics out there that is available to the market from a P&L perspective. So in order to, I guess, help mitigate the use of this data to make sense of it, the Design Authority has actually engaged with an AI-based company as well to help us sift through the initial stages of the data. And at the end of it is where the actual screening process comes out that says, okay, these stocks that have gone through the AI learning machine, we've deemed to be SDI or not. After which we put eyes on the actual result to make sure that the machine has done exactly what we've told it to do. Every step of the process is fully transparent. It's actually rules based. So everything that we've done has actually been documented and freely available. There is no black box per se.
We've come to the end of the year, and as you mentioned, this has been a big year for sustainability, sustainable linked investments and products. What are some of the key trends that you've seen come out of this particular sector this year, and how does this impact the SDI AOP? Where does that fit in with this?
Oh, it's been enormous, Rachel, and I'm glad you brought this up. It's actually brought to the fore a lot of key, I guess, thematics, if you will, or trends. There is not only this top-down approach or this top-down push from the regulators and the asset allocators saying we need to do better, we need to engage with these companies that we're investing in, but also from the retail investor side, the questions are also now being asked as to, okay, I actually want to do better, not only for myself, for my family, but for the world that I live in as well. And so where this SDI platform comes in, and in the time that we've launched, the response that we've had has been absolutely tremendous. And I think it's taken us a little bit by surprise as well by the response. We've actually just still trying to play catch up, where we've had so many institutions, not only from your largest global institutional players down to your startups and even individuals as well, coming to us and saying, this is something that's very, very interesting and starting to be a lot more important to me as an investor, not as a person, but as an investor, and how what I do or what I invest in is having some sort of an impact. And I guess what we're trying to do now is to not engage with everyone across the board, but make it a meaningful conversation. At the moment, our universe is fairly small. We've only got about 8,000 names to the data set. That is growing as we speak. Come 2021, that'll jump to 10,000. So we're trying to provide as large and as comprehensive a data set as possible that actually makes sense to each and every investor that we're actually engaging with.
Well, Rick, thanks for sharing all those updates with us. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you for having me, and I do appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about this important topic.
Definitely our pleasure. We look forward to having you back next year to share more on your ETF.
Oh, forward to it.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Rick Chow, and he's the head of Asia Pacific for Index and Analytics at Contigo. You're right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.